Well, it's good to see everyone this evening, and once again, how thankful we are for this precious time to be able to assemble ourselves together. Search the Scriptures. I pray the Lord be pleased to bless the services this evening. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. This evening, as we're going through this 22nd chapter, as I told you last week or so, I'd like to just take our time and look very, very carefully at these words. I'd like to read verses 3 through 5 and deal with that this evening, and then, Lord willing, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Genesis 22, 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we approach you and ask you to bless your word. Help us. Lord, we're needy people. We ask you now, forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen. The Lord has spoken to Abraham to test him, to prove him, to prove to Abraham of the Lord's faithfulness, and to prove the faith of Abraham. God has instructed Abraham to take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The Lord gave no explanation, no reason for his command, and Abraham asked no questions. Abraham believed God. Now, obviously, if the flesh was consulted, the reasons for questioning the Lord's word would be endless. I'm sure that Abraham could probably justify Ishmael's expulsion out of the house because of the animosity that arose immediately after Sarah observed the mocking of the handmaid's son against her son, Isaac. But for Abraham to actually take Isaac and offer him upon an altar for a burnt offering, what profit, according to the flesh now, if we're going to consult the flesh, what profit could there be to sacrifice Isaac? If you're going to sit there and argue with the Lord, how could he explain this to Sarah? There's no mention that he said anything to Sarah. How's he going to mention all this to the household? And when the Lord has promised his son, and now has given a son through the dead womb of Sarah, and from Abraham, whose body, the scripture says, was now dead in his ability to have children. The Messiah was promised to God, I'm from God, to come through Isaac. And wouldn't this sacrifice of Isaac be contrary to what the Lord has said, a reproach to Abraham, humiliation? He'd be known as the father who slew his son, if he's going to consult the flesh, will always come up with reasons to not obey God. We can think of all kinds of reasons. The Lord's people are often exposed to great trials that run contrary to natural thinking. The only comfort that they have is this: it's the Lord who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Scripture says, we confer not. It's what Paul did. After the Lord called Paul, called him on the road to Damascus, conferred not with flesh and blood. God's people don't question God's word. Scripture says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. I want you to take your son, your only son, son that thou lovest. The life of faith is the life made new in Christ. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life that doesn't argue with the Lord, doesn't make excuses to justify disobedience. The Lord had spoken, and that was the Lord's word. So verse 3 said, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went unto the place of which God had told him. We're convinced that though the fire of the Lord's loving hand of chastening mercy is grievous for the moment, I'm looking at some folks here that's been through some trials. I know you have. Suffered some things that were hard. These things are grievous for the moment, but the heart of submission is there in a believer. Faith from above, the faith of God's elect, when tried, does not look to the circumstances. I know we struggle with this. It looks to the Lord, looking to him. And though the battle with our flesh, the fiery darts of Satan, through those things, our old man will raise its ugly head and argue and question. But we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Abraham was called of God to perform that which would picture the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being instructed, he saddled his ass for the journey to the place of God's choosing. I couldn't help but think about, this is just my thoughts, I couldn't help but think about, here was Isaac, he's a picture of Christ, submissiveness, submissiveness. I don't know how old he was. I've tried to read and find. He could have been mid-20s, somewhere in that area, 30. He wasn't a little boy. Wasn't he? He was an older. And he could have been a little younger than that, but not much. He was a man. But here he is, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham, obeying God, saddled his ass. I couldn't help but think of our Lord who rode into Jerusalem sitting on an ass's colt. And he says it took two of his young men with him. And as I contemplated that, I thought, not to assist, but as witnesses. Witnesses like those that beheld our Lord going to Calvary's tree. The mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Scripture says, Matthew 18:16. And then Isaac, his son, he took the saddle ass, took the two young men, and Isaac, his son, the son of Abraham's love, his only son, again, the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering. He split it. He cut it. That's what he did. He cut the wood and got it ready. Split the wood for the burnt offering. Hold your place, right, and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. You see 1 Kings, and you'll see 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you just keep flipping. Ezra, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 10, I found a very revealing scripture here concerning the wood for the burnt offering. Nehemiah 10, verse 34. And this was the things that were gathered by the people for the sacrifices. But look at this. It says, Nehemiah 10, 34. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. The fire was not to go out on the altar. And it was a ministry. There were some people. And they cast lots to find out who would gather the wood. The wood had to be prepared. Had to be split. Had to be right. Had to be ready. And they cast lots. And they trusted the Lord for them to gather the wood, to make sure that it was there. It don't run out. And this is what he did. He got the wood. He clave the wood. He split it. And he's going to bring it with him. And the scripture says back in 22, verse 3, and he rose up and he went to the place which God had told him. I began to, again, look at that scripture, and I thought of all the preparation that was made. This is what I'm telling you to do. I want you to take your son, only son. Got up early in the morning. I don't know, doesn't say how early, but it was early. He got up, saddled the ass, got the young men, got Isaac, split the wood, got it ready. All the preparation for the sacrifice of Isaac was done. It was all finished. And concerning the finished work, all the preparation of God concerning the sacrifice, the redemption of God's people, the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was prepared. God saw him. God saw Christ lay down his life. He saw him before the foundation of the world. Turn to 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. I think of all this. Look at this preparation that was done. Everything. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've read this before. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Prepared. The Lamb was prepared, slain from the foundation of the world. God Almighty saved us, called us, the holy calling. All done. Look at Matthew 25. Verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. In the day of judgment, it's going to be on the right right hand of the Lord. Goat's going to be on the left. And the Lord, the judge himself, going to speak. Then shall, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven is a place prepared of God for God's people. It's a sure place, a prepared place. One made ready for his particular people, people of God's choosing, a kingdom established by God. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. Those things that God has prepared for those that love him. But it's prepared. Prepared. It's an inheritance, the scripture says. An inheritance that's reserved for God's elect. And nothing concerning the kingdom of God is left to time. Oh, the Lord is calling us out in time. And we behold things in time. We see the Lord regenerate his people in time. But God knew them, saved them, and then called them in time. But he saved them from the foundation of the world. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Nothing's left a man's work. Nothing's left a man's will. So Abraham's preparation was a type and a figure of all things that have been ordained and prepared of God for his sheep in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all things being prepared, Abraham went unto the place which God told him. And verse 4 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. There's no way that anybody save the Lord could understand or know the heart and the trial of Abraham. Abraham is bringing the son of his love, son of his affection. This is the third day since Abraham has heard the words of the Lord. And he sees the place afar off. The Lord told him. When he saw the place, he knew the place. How did he know it? Well, the scripture says, verse 2, that we looked at last week, or leap 4, it says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. 3 days later, he looks, the scripture says, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. God told him. God told him that that's where it was. And there we behold as the Lord himself, who had seen the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Christ Jesus would come in time. God Almighty beheld him. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Come again to you. That statement, moved upon by the Spirit of God to say the very thing that he said, that statement there just ignites my heart. He tells those young men, he said, I want you to stay right here. You stay here with this ass. And the lad and I will go yonder and we're going to worship God. Here we see that the sacrifice of Isaac was very, very an intimate. It was a very private matter. Just as the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross was a divinely finished act of his willing submission unto the Father. It was a work done between the Father and the Son. And how jealous is the Lord God as he guards the picture that's set forth right here. I'm going to show you why in just a minute. These two young men were allowed to see quite a few things. They were allowed to see the preparation to make the journey. I don't doubt one bit. I don't doubt that they saw Abraham getting the wood, claving the wood. I don't doubt the saddling of the ass, just getting all the things together. They were permitted to hear Abraham. You know, well, he spoke and he made that 3-day journey. I'm sure they talked and they were allowed to hear Abraham say, you know, you stay here and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come back to you. They could behold Isaac bearing the wood. Picture, we'll look at that next week, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who bore his cross. They'll see them walking away. They'll see Abraham holding the fire and the knife, and they'll watch. They'll be able to watch. They'll go up to the place that the Lord has shown Abraham. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ, in those days when he was getting ready to go to the cross, there was a lot of things that were seen. His disciples, three of them, were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know, the Lord pray, and Scripture was explicit on him coming to him, and he'd wake him up, and he'd go back, and he'd pray, and then in the garden when he was betrayed of Judas, we saw a lot of things. The Lord tell Peter. He said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me 3 times. You know, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me. I'll never do it. 3 times he denied the Lord. We have the witness of the trial of the Lord when he stood before Pilate. Pilate, you know, talking to the people, and they said, I don't find any fault in him. Crucify him, crucify him. All these things we were beheld. And then there was those that stood around the very cross when our Lord was hanging upon the cross, and there were so many of them that were mocking him, wagging their heads, you know. He said, you know, he if you're the Christ, come down, save yourself. But then there's those things that were secret. Those things that were concealed. Gloriously did the Lord keep from the eyes of men those things that he would not permit men to behold. The secret things, that is the closed or concealed things, belong unto the Lord our God. There's a lot of things that we see even in our lives right now. We can see them. But then there's some things that we just don't know. Providence dictates the Lord's will, but God's concealed things are kept. I want you to turn with me in the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 23. While you're turning there, we're told, we're going to read about just a second here, about 3 hours of darkness on that glorious day. That concealed everything that God Almighty would not allow to be seen by men. Amos prophesied of this. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. I'm getting this from those men that were told, you stay here. You stay here with them. The lad and I will go yonder, and we're going to worship God. But you stay here with the ass. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. It came to pass in that day. No, it shall come to pass. In that day, saith the Lord, I will darken the earth. Now, I looked up what that word darken means. It means dark, withholding light, black. 3 hours 3 hours of darkness that God Almighty would not allow men to behold. Luke chapter 23. In verse 39, there's an event that we read often. But I'm going to read this. It's Luke 23, verse 39 to 45. Listen to this. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And that's normally where we stop. The next few verses, verse 44, 45. "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Now, the Lord had just been asked by one of those thieves, "Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me?" He said, "Verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you'll be with me." And it was the sixth hour. It was dark. God Almighty blotted out the sun. Here is God is going to deal with God concerning the accomplishment of the will of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, during that period of time, right there, I want you to turn over to Matthew 27. This is Matthew's account. Here's what happened. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 45 to 53. Now, this is the account that the Spirit of God moved Matthew to write. Matthew 27, 45. "At about the ninth hour," here it is, it's been 3 hours. Well, 45. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land till the ninth hour." Right? When that thief asked him, "Would you remember me?" Or say, "You'll be with me today." And it was about the sixth hour. And from the sixth hour to ninth hour, black. Verse 45, Matthew 27, 45, about the sixth hour. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour," 3 hours of darkness. And here's God dealing with God, and God is not going to allow people to see it. "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In the book of Psalms, chapter 22, and verse 1 to 3, the scripture sets forth that answer. Psalms 22, 1 to 3. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, I am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. At the ninth hour, the Lord cried out, my God, 3 hours of darkness. And he cries out, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's the answer. You're holy. You're holy. What happened in that 3 hours? The Lord knows. God Almighty was dealing with the Lamb. He was dealing with the one who was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God blotted it out before the eyes of men. And God dealt with it. The Father dealt with his Son. You stay here. You stay here. You stay here with the ash. The lad and I are going to go yonder. And we're going to worship. What he did was he said, we're going to go. I'm going to bow. I'm going to bow. I'm going to prostrate myself before God. That veil was rent during that time, top to bottom, the Spirit revealing that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood and death, had opened unto the people, unto his people, the way to God, not through the keeping of the law, but by faith in him. The earth that was cursed in Adam's fall did quake, the Scripture says. As the earth did quake in the morning of the Lord's resurrection, the rocks were rent, and the graves of many of those, the Scripture says, who died in the faith were opened. They went into the holy city, and what a display of God's power, an open witness of the surety of the resurrection of God's people unto life. They came out of the grave, just as the Lord will raise up his people out of the grave, raise up their vile bodies. Abraham told the young men, you abide here. You stay here. The lad and I are going there. We're going to worship. And here's that last wonderful, wonderful part for this evening. We're going to go yonder. And we're going to bow. We're going to bow. We're going to bow to what God has told me to do. And we're going to worship God. And the Scripture says, and then he says, and come again to you. We're coming back. We're coming back. Abraham, though he was told of God to offer up Isaac, he was persuaded. Turn to Hebrews 11, and I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 11, 17. He was told of the Lord to go and you take your son, your only son, to offer him there for a burnt offering unto me. In his mind, that boy is dead. But the Scripture says that he truly believed. He believed God was going to raise that boy up. He was going to kill him. When he raised that knife, we'll see this, Lord willing, next time. When he raised that knife, he meant it. He was going to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. He was going to cut him, cut his throat. He was going to take him and cut him in pieces and put him on top of that altar, put that wood on there and put him on top of that altar, and he was going to offer him unto God. But he said, we're coming back. The lad and I, we're coming back to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19. I'll close right here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God, here's the Spirit of God telling us what Abraham thought, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which also he had received him in a figure. Oh, the trial of Abraham. But oh, the blessing of beholding the miracle of the grace of God. The Lord would send his only begotten son in there, lay down his life for his people. I pray God bless these words to our heart for the Lord's glory and for our good. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask some men if they'll come forward, and we're going to worship God. We're going to worship the Lord in observing the Lord's table. So if you fellas will come forward.
God moved upon the Apostle Paul. Blessed words. The Spirit of God set him forth a foundation for why we do what we're about to do. Paul was moved to say, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's thank the Lord for this symbol. This symbol of his broken body. Let's thank the Lord. Our Father, we thank you this evening that we can come together and worship and bow. Lord, the command that you've given us, given your people, to remember you, to remember your broken body by this piece of bread. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to come together and to have this precious time. Would you bless this taking of this piece of bread, Lord, to the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Broken body, what's it is on your prayer? Amen. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance may for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's thank the Lord for the cup. Our Father, again, we thank you for this symbol, this cup of wine, Lord, that you've commanded us to take remembrance of that precious shed blood. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And all things you said give thanks. Lord, thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood, putting away, paying our debt. And Father, thank you that when you see the blood, you pass over us. Now, Lord, I pray as we take this cup tonight, Lord, would you bring back to our members afresh the preciousness of the shed blood. In his name we pray.
Let's sing the first verse of Amazing Grace and close it with this.
Amazing.